Good evening and welcome to the Disney Discord podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Graham, with DLRP Roundup, and tonight I'm joined by
Bernardo from the Main Street News, and it's always a pleasure to be here.
It is always a pleasure. It is always a pleasure. I've got to have to admit, I actually forgot we were doing a podcast tonight until you invited me into the chat. That
okay.
was always a good start to a podcast when you forgot you were going to do that. But here we are. We're live now. That's all that matters. So we had a bumper podcast the last time, which went on for ages, and this time I think we'll have a slightly shorter podcast. We're going to try really hard, everybody, to have a shorter podcast this time. We have a couple of things we're going to burn through. We're going to have a quick chat about Walt Disney World. I was there about a week ago, and I got back, so we're going to have a chat about my experience there, and then we're going to have a chat about the $60 billion that has been announced for the expansion of the Disney Parks and Disney Cruise Line. We are going to chat about the Disney Village in DLP and some news we've got there, and we're going to chat finally about D23 and the news that fell out there. If we had an intro tune, we'd probably play it now. We don't, so we're going to crack on. Do you have anything else you want to add to that?
No, I think that's a great lineup for today's podcast. So let's go ahead and start with your own vacation. How was it?
It was a very good trip. It was a very, very good trip. I was actually staying just outside Disney in Celebration, which previously was a community that was built around Disney. It's on US 192, and I was literally about a 6-minute drive from Epcot. And one of the really nice things about the hotel that I was staying, which was the Delta Hotel, which has just been taken over by Marriott, one of the really nice things about the hotel was that you could actually see the Epcot dome at night. You could actually look across while you were in the hotel and see the sphere lit up.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So you're
in Celebration,
cool.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. How long did you stay in Disney and Universal?
Well, I was there for 10 days. So between Disney and Universal, I was there for 10 days. I probably spent about 8 days in Disney in total. Visited all the parks and done the Halloween Horror Night. So I think maybe the Halloween Horror Night is the first place you probably start the game to find out, you know, what were they doing and what can we learn from that. And I think one of the coolest things that I've seen was the Halloween Horror Nights again. A lot of people say it's busier than it ever has been, but I didn't see that. I actually thought it was quieter than the last time I was there. Like, I genuinely thought that the Halloween Horror Night has for years been getting busier and busier and busier, and it's been getting harder and harder to get anything done. And for once, I actually thought, wow, Disney have sold less tickets to this party than they normally would have. So,
yes, how was it? I've never been to Halloween Horror Nights before, so.
Oh, not Halloween Horror Nights. It's Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. I'm getting so confused. I'm getting so confused. I'm getting all confused because we're here. And
did you go to?
I done both.
Oh, okay,
so,
okay.
Halloween Horror Nights is the Universal event, which is absolutely terrifying and is probably, I think it's far too scary for what we should actually be doing. Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party is, of course, Walt Disney World's version of Halloween in the Magic Kingdom. So the two, let's compare the two of them. So we have nothing in Paris this year, which is really disappointing.
Not true. You have the annual pass exclusive party in about a week from now. So
yeah,
there's something, a little bit something.
It's about half a nothing. So, I mean, so Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, huge party. I'd estimate probably 50,000 guests get in each night. It does usually sell out before, if not on the night, off the party. There are two Halloween parades. They're identical. So you get to choose which parade you get to watch, the first one or the second one. You have a Halloween-specific fireworks show, which I think is called Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Spectacular. It used to be all themed around the parade is Boo to You, and then the fireworks used to be Happy Hallowishes rather than the normal wishes it was on. It's marginally different to the original show. It's a different story, but I think the fireworks are identical. Somebody's probably going to jump in and be like, it's absolutely not, but I'm pretty sure it's the same fireworks, just a different kind of narration and a different projection. So I don't think it's as good as the normal Happily Ever After fireworks. I think they
Yeah,
actually
Happily
have
Ever
the
After is a
age.
fantastic. Happily Ever After is a fantastic fireworks show. So it's really hard to compete with that.
Really is. I mean, they've tried. They've obviously tried, and it's a big show.
Yes.
It's a good. It is a long show as well. I remember. I think the video is about 17,
Yes.
maybe 90 minutes long. That's a lot of pyro. But then you are paying what? I mean, the tickets start at $109 for the cheapest nights, and then I think they top out in the 200s somewhere. So you
Well,
are paying considerably to be at that. Like it's more expensive than a day ticket.
yes, but yeah, that's true. I
And you
did
have
go
to
last
have,
year. I went last year to do one of those parties, and I just went to do every single attraction in Magic Kingdom because the lines are significantly shorter than normal days. So I just
other than the
personally
Haunted
do have.
Mansion.
Yeah, holiday, yes, of course. Anything that's Halloween related is obviously very packed. But other than
So
that,
you. Space Mountain in the pitch black, so it's already very dark in there,
Yes.
but they turn off
Yes.
every light. I'm not sure if you'd call it an overlay. I mean, they do call it
It's
an
not really an
overlay. It's not an
overlay.
overlay. It's really just all light is now turned out. So you get that. We were given huge amounts of candy. You get to do trick or treating and get candy for it. Huge amounts. I mean, they basically, I think, go on the assumption that most people fill their bag and then stop. So I'm pretty sure this year they've just gone out their way to give you a lot more early on so that you'll fill your bag really quickly and then stop. So it was
Interesting.
good. It was busy, but it wasn't as busy as it's been in previous years. A lot of people have been arguing with me online about that, saying that it's the busiest it's ever been. I mean, I've done it about, I don't know, 5 or 6 times. It definitely wasn't the busiest one I've been to. And then we done Halloween Horror Night at Universal, which is Universal's take on Halloween, and there's no trick-or-treating at that. And it is basically designed to try and terrify you as much as possible. There's two main, there's maybe three elements to it. There is the haunted houses where you go through an attraction-like
Yes.
experience where a bunch of people try and scare the living hell out of you and succeed usually. You have the walking horrors, which is where you walk through scare zones and people jump out and chase you with chainsaws and stuff.
Oh, nice.
And then, of course, you've got the attractions, which have very, very small waits. The only problem with it, they again sell probably, I don't know, 45 to 50,000 tickets in the Universal Orlando park. However, they also sell a bunch of express passes. The express passes then gum up the queues. The queues are very long. Unless you stay till very late in the night, unless you're kind of there 11:30 p.m., midnight, 1, you're going to be stuck in a 90-minute to 2-hour queue. Like
Oh
it's
wow,
not
for a
pleasant.
haunted house.
So it's not.
But were
And I
they
think,
good? I've heard a lot of good things about I think it's The Last of Us.
yeah, I mean
So
they're very good. They're very well themed and they're very well done. I mean they terrify living daylights out of you. It's just they're a long wait. And then because it's such a limited experience, everybody wants to do everything.
Yeah, of
So,
course.
I think you're better. If you're going to do that, don't turn up for opening. You're far better going late. It's open till 2 in the morning. It's quite a late ceremony. You're best going to that. This year, they had a good number of houses. They generally, there's a couple of houses that get held over year to year, but they're quite good at refreshing them. And over, a 5, 6 year period, you're probably not getting any houses that are duplicates. Like it is a new experience each time. If you're terrified, need to like horror movies like me, you probably just skip
Oh yeah, I hate
it.
horror movies. So yeah, but it sounds interesting, the whole party and
Well,
everything.
they
I would
sell
like
it out.
to. Yeah, of course. A lot of people love them. A lot of people, wait the whole year for just that. So it must be good. Yeah.
So
I'd like to try it sometime.
Other experiences, Tron, got to try Tron, wasn't impressed with Tron at all.
Really? Why?
It's over in about 90 seconds. It's over in about, it's like 90 seconds. You don't really, the fantastic light up effects and everything, you don't really get to see because you're going past them too fast. And unlike, I'm trying to think, the other bike coaster in Orlando, which is Hagrid's.
But Hagrid's is huge.
Yeah, it's a huge coaster. Lots of elements, lots of fun things. There's lots of twists, turns, drop forward.
Amazing, yes. I love that.
And then you end up with kind of Tron, which goes in a straight line, but kind of quick.
That's disappointing.
It is, I genuinely, for the many years I've spent building it, I don't think Tron was a very good ride. And I'm not convinced that once it comes off the virtual queue system that many people will actually ride it, but we'll see. A couple of things that I was thinking about while I was there. They have significantly more cast working in the States than they have
compared to Paris.
Yeah, I mean, yes, the numbers actually—it's astronomical.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When they say they can't hire enough,
everywhere, and I mean everywhere, it's staggering. No, in Hollywood Tower Hotel, for example, in the lobby, where in Paris you have one, maybe two cast members. I think I counted up to six in one morning. So there's a lot of people working in there everywhere. Every shop is filled with cast members. Every hotel is filled with cast members. So it's a very much very different experience when compared to Paris.
There's a lot more cast, and I think they rely quite heavily on the cast to kind of bridge the gap between the astronomically long wait you get for basically everything. So there's always a queue in the shops. There's always a queue in the restaurants. Yeah. There's always a queue at the beverage carts. So because you've always got these queues, the cast basically try and bridge that gap. They have a sort of fake friendliness, though. And yeah. I don't know if this is because I'm miserable. Yeah. Is this just because I'm like miserable, like a miserable British person? Or is it because... Or is it because like we're from Europe and like it's that fake friendliness? Like they're like, "Hi friend, welcome. I'm so glad you decided to visit us today." I'm like, "No, you're not. Just give me a Diet Cola."
It's a bit too much.
It is a bit too much. But then the Americans all complain if they don't get that sort of service. So it's a catch
22. Yeah. Like, they have
like,
to.
Oh my god, she was so rude. She didn't wish us a happy day. And I'm like, you're in Disney. You're just, for granted, you're taking a happy day. I don't know. I mean, it was far too hot. It was 36 degrees for the majority of the trip, which was beyond the level where I felt comfortable in the heat, to be fair. So,
and the humidity.
They have a lot of cast. Yeah, it doesn't help. The humidity, it doesn't. But they have a lot of cast. They have a lot of transport options. I'm always in awe that you can, you know, if you're traveling from Epcot, you can get on a boat to Hollywood Studios. You've got the Skyliner, you've got monorails, you've got boats at the Magic Kingdom. Like, there's so much like free transportation, and you've got all that, and then in Paris, you've got that moving walkway, basically.
It's been broken for the last 29 years of its existence. Yeah.
Yeah, we've got the moving walkway. So in some ways, I always get so sad that transportation's just kind of like, we've got the train. That's kind of all you're getting. So I would definitely say, though, some of the attractions at Walt Disney World are now well past their prime. And probably Big Thunder Mountain's nowhere near as fun. Space Mountain, I genuinely wasn't scared of the dark. I was more scared that the ride was probably going to fall apart while we were on it.
Like exactly.
It's a good age. So that was that. overall, the investments they've made, I think the Moana Journey Water thing looked really fun. I could see into it. We never got to preview it, but you could see into it, and it looked beautiful and it looked well done. The entrance Epcot looked really nice. It was really nice, spectacular, open sort of views and stuff. It's good to take a little while to open that up. Galaxy's Edge was doing, Galaxy's Edge is taking on a new sort of life. They've now stopped being so serious about the time period it's in. So you now get characters from all across the Star Wars timeline. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's something that a lot of people actually complain about. So I'm glad they
made
that decision. No. I love having new characters, you know, that just don't fit in the timeline. I don't care about the timeline. I just want to meet Mandalorian and Grogu and all of them at the same time. I don't care.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
So that was quite good. I quite liked that. Other people, I'm sure, are very annoyed about it. I liked it. Big takeaway for me there is that land is crying out for nighttime entertainment. Like, it's crying out for, like, a light-up lightsaber show. It's crying out for, you know, just really cool stuff like that.
Something.
Rise of the Resistance. I don't know if you know this, but Rise of the Resistance, the main animatronic of Kylo Ren is broken.
Oh, yeah, I saw it. It's been broken for a while.
Yeah, so, I mean, they've just kind of pulled that. It's kind of interesting when people are kind of like, Walt Disney World, this would never happen in the States. I promise you it does happen in the States, and they do just sweep things like that under the carpet for a long time. Oh, and we ate at Rodeo Roundup Barbecue.
Oh.
Quite,
so quite how was dreadful. It? The new... Was it bad?
It was very bad. You have to be...
The food
you
was
booked
bad?
An appointment. The whole thing was bad. So you booked an appointment. We booked, I think we were booked in for like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We turned up at 5 to 4. We checked in. We then got ignored for about, I mean, we checked in. They were like, yeah, we'll give you a shout when your table's ready. So we waited about 20 minutes. Nobody shouted us. We went and spoke to them. Like, yeah, it's just coming. 15 minutes later, still nothing. And then, about 5 minutes later, I was like, why can we not have a table? Like, oh, we've just got one now. Welcome, friend. I'm so glad. And I was like, oh my God. Like, that's not going to dig you out of this. So, sat down at the table. I don't know what I expected. I tried to go in without watching videos or anything. So, it's themed to Toy Story, but not in a good way.
Okay.
It's bad. It's just Toy Story kind of, I mean, I don't know how to explain it. It's kind of like, it's all very flat. It's all very...
Yeah.
It's 3D, but not very. And you sit while they play kind of Toy Story music in the background, and every now and again a character shouts over the radio, like, Andy's coming, and everybody has to pause.
But, while they're eating.
Yeah, but nothing happens. Then just the bell goes and everybody claps. Like, nothing.
Okay.
So, you know, everybody cheers. And I'm kind of like, it's equivalent to like turning the lights out and then being like, haha, that was great, wasn't it? the food they bring you, it's a buffet at a table, which presumably was designed during COVID, with the idea being that everybody could get a feast at their table and you didn't have to go up to the buffet. The only problem is COVID's now passed. So what you get, you can't choose like half meat and half veggie. You choose either for the table, you're having meat or you're having veggie.
So it's not a buffet at all.
Well, it's a buffet at the table, but not in the sense that, I mean, just imagine that they bring you across literally a big, big tray of food, more than you can hope to eat.
So they dump that on your table. Much food.
Far too much food. Like, well beyond the limits of mere mortals. and you get to pick sides, but of course, I mean, for two of us, we got four salads. And when I say four salads, they're about the size of kind of like a, I don't know, you know, like when you buy a lasagna and it comes in that little tray.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got like four salads. start
for
with.
Two people. Like,
for two people, four salads. That was like appetizer. Then you got this big, like, multiple kilo dish of just cooked meat, which was like six ribs, chicken legs, sausages, just a big hefty dish of meat. And then on the side of that, you got sides that were big dishes, like mashed potatoes and corn in the cob and potato salad and things like that. And it was just far too much food. None of it was very good. This is a common theme. The Americans, everything's served to you in jumbo, but never tastes very good. It's all kind of bland. So there was an awful lot of bland food, but a lot of bland food. Yeah. And then the service was dreadful. Like, it took forever. Which I don't really get, because everybody was eating the same thing. And then you basically leave again. And I just think the experience was up to very much. There was no interaction. There was no character. Quite dark. It wasn't themed particularly well. It kind of put out there as a sort of half character interaction. But, I mean, the character interaction is just the characters occasionally shout over the radio. It's not...
Yeah.
It's not quite,
I think that's
what you'd
a
imagine.
Problem. I think that's a problem with the entire land, because you're not actually in the Toy Story world. You're basically in Andy's backyard, I think. So that's the theme. It could be a lot more interesting, but which is something that Imagineering has been, you know, in a trend. Something could be a lot more interesting, but no, it's this that you have. And well, okay, so it's almost the same with Batuu, you know, with Galaxy's Edge. You could be in an amazing planet you've seen your entire life in Star Wars, but no, it's an entirely new planet that you have no connection with some characters that, you know, from the sequels, and well, that's it. But it could be a lot better. So I think that's an issue with Toy Story as well. Toy Story Land.
Yeah.
Which extends to the restaurant.
I definitely think, you know, if we're thinking more locally about DLP, they could definitely do a Toy Story restaurant, and they could probably do a couple more attractions. I think that people really like the Toy Story Land, and certainly like the Swirling Saucers and Slinky Dog's roller coaster. I know we've already got that little roller coaster thing, but the bigger sort of roller coaster was quite good as well. So I don't think there isn't scope there. Now, before we drone on, we should probably talk.
The only problem in Paris, just to continue that, is that there's just there's no space to do that. They made the expansion.
Oh, we're about to have a big lake that has nothing around it.
Yeah, sure, but how do you connect that? You have cars road trip in one end, and you have the promenade in the other, and you just have Toy Story Playland in the middle, just there, existing.
Yeah, as usual, there's the box they're selling.
Yeah. And there's no food options in the land, which I don't comprehend, because you could have so many different interesting food options, like, I don't know, it's just something from the Toy Story universe just to play with, and have anything.
Remember we had Pizza Planet, remember, and then we got rid of it.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
I mean, it wasn't
Pizza
good,
Planet
wasn't
from
good.
Wish.
Yeah, but we could have an actual Pizza Planet, like a real one. Let's not labour that point. So, on my last day there, I'm going to go out of sequence a little bit, but on my last day there, as we were leaving, there were people arriving for D23. Or Destination D23. It wasn't actually D23, it was Destination D23.
Which was held in the Contemporary.
It was. So, do you want to lead us through what was announced there, or what wasn't announced there?
Oh yeah, sure. Not a lot was announced. They talked some more about Blue Sky concepts and ideas and a lot of mumbo jumbo, but not anything. Well, we did have some new things that will be happening for sure. You have the Zootopia show under the Tree of Life, replacing its stuff to be a bug, which I think it's, you know, it's a bit outdated, the show. The animatronics don't work. There are like two animatronics, they mostly just don't work, or fully work at least. Zootopia will be calling that theater home, which I think it's okay, to be honest. I'm not super excited.
Well, I guess A Bug's Life, I mean, it's A Bug's Life that's in it just now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that doesn't resonate with kids today, I don't think. I think that's probably old. So that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it makes sense.
The Pirates of the Caribbean themed
lounge. So you have this.
So it's a bar.
It's like a. it's basically a bar, which I think it's actually something interesting. You have the parrot, which used to be, I think, in the entrance of Pirates of the Caribbean, which will be making its grand return into this tavern. I think that was what Josh called it, a tavern, Pirates of the Caribbean tavern. So this could be, I think, the first time they actually sell alcohol in the Magic Kingdom for not a limited time event. So I think they don't sell any type of alcohol right now. So a tavern needs alcohol, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't have a pirate tavern without a beer or, I don't know, something. Rum. I don't know, but I think that it should be the first time the Magic Kingdom has alcohol, which, okay, well, interesting.
So we got the
Country Bear Jamboree getting a complete revamp with new songs and a new act, as they call it. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we can only hope that it catches fire while it's getting built and burned down.
Yeah, you're a great fan.
I am not. I mean, Country Bear Jamboree is Country Bear Jam, but not happening. But we've still got it. I guess they had to modernize it because half it's a little bit unsuitable, I would think, for a modern audience.
It'll get it. I think it's going to get some Disney songs. Not all of them, I think. But the one they did show us was a Disney song, which was, I don't remember what song it was, but it was from Disney. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I'm not sure. And then we had a first look at the vehicle for the new Avengers Campus attraction coming to California Adventure, which is very similar to the one from The Adventures of Spider-Man from Islands of Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Which is an absolutely amazing attraction. And if they can recreate some parts of it or, you know, innovate, because that ride is like 20 years old now, it could be a very well done ride. It'll be interesting again to see how that plays out.
It is. They talk about the Xandarian jump points there, which there's.
Oh, yeah.
The oddity is that's obviously the narrative of the Guardians of the Galaxy roller coaster in Epcot. So it's interesting that they use the Xandarian kind of thing as well. And it kind of loosely, not entirely, but loosely plays into the narrative of DLP's Flight Force.
How? Does it? I don't think so.
Well, the whole thing about Flight Force is you're supposed to be like jumping and chasing things. I mean, let me go through
it's just some missiles that are coming to Earth and you gotta save Earth by stopping the missiles. There's no
by high speed twists and turns. Yeah, there's no jump points, but
there's no jump points yet. They didn't have the budget for that.
No, they didn't have jump of that.
No.
Yeah, it's not okay. It's maybe just similar enough.
Yeah, it's interesting. Let's say it's
interesting. You're still hoping we get a copy of it, obviously.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Because Avengers Campus needs something more.
It does.
Let's see. Yeah, it definitely does. So then we have Test Track, which will be getting a complete revamp, which I'm honestly very excited about. I was not expecting you know, Test Track to be changed. But it makes sense because, you know, that it has that all that whole Tron aesthetic, which just doesn't make sense when you have a Tron roller coaster and attraction in the other park. So this is like a cheap Tron-esque kind of theme. And they'll be taking inspiration from... they'll be taking inspiration from World of Motion, which was the original attraction which Test Track replaced. So I'm actually pretty excited about this one.
It'll be its third overhaul. I don't think there's anything bad with that. It's a good ride. It's a good ride system as well.
Yes, it's a very good ride system. Well, that's it. And then lastly, we have the Mumbo Jumbo Blue Sky Josh was referring, which changed from last year into this one, which used to be a Moana-themed land mixed with Zootopia, which got a lot of backlash, people saying Zootopia doesn't belong in Animal Kingdom, blah, blah, blah. So now we have Coco,
sorry,
like a Mexican area. Yeah, go ahead.
No. How can Zootopia not be an Animal Kingdom? It literally is like animals in the Animal Kingdom. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, that's debatable, actually. I would say.
Only if you're going to get very literal on it. It's supposed to be, Zootopia's like the animals technically run the world.
Sure, you have animals acting, but they're acting as people, not animals. So
yeah, but if I was 10 and I thought, where are the animals and which park would I put the animals in? I would think, if I was 10, I would expect to see Zootopia and Animal Kingdom. I think.
Well, that's why they're putting Zootopia under the Tree of Life, so you can have Zootopia in Animal Kingdom without ruining that whole area.
Obviously it's got the wrong end, everybody's sick, but no, that looks very good. The only problem we've got is none of it is very concrete. It's all kind of, there will be some overhauls.
It doesn't have anything to do with animals. Also, you have Coco and Encanto and Indiana Jones, so I think Indiana Jones, you could go to the most, that mythical side of Animal Kingdom that wasn't really explored, but was going to be originally with that whole dragon land that was going to be in Animal Kingdom, which Pandora then replaced. But, so if they go that route, I could see that happening. But then in Kanto, you have the little boy's power, which is to communicate with animals. So that could be it. I don't know. But then you have Coco, which, doesn't have anything to do with animals.
No.
So yeah.
Yeah. Well,
but as a land, they call it Tropical Americas, which I think it's better than they were planning, because you have now, you have an area of the world, which is something that normally happens in Animal Kingdom. We have Asia and Africa, and I think they have Asia, Africa.
Pandora. We've been arguing for years that we don't want these single IP lands. Instead, we want multi-IP. Mm-hmm. And in fairness, Tropical Americas is not a single IP land. It is a multi-IP land.
Yep. Yeah.
It's still IP, but it's multi. So
yes, I know. Yeah, that was one of the major good things about this. I think that they need to bring back not one IP lens, as you were saying. We need to have more things happening for the land, not just small IP focused lens, and just that. I think this will, if ever built, which I think won't be happening anytime soon, it would be a better land as a whole.
Mm-hmm. So obviously we had an official event where we announced some of these details, and then Disney put form moments after, only a week after they held Destination D23 and underwhelmed everyone. They, on a random Tuesday, as we call it, the random Tuesday announcement, they decided that they didn't mention Destination D23, which is the park section of the D23 fan club, they decided to just announce instead we're going to spend $60 billion on expansion specifically in our park and our cruise line. And this $60 billion, there's a great deal of arguing about it because it's not $60 billion on top of what they'd already spend. It's $60 billion that's getting spent, and there's a debate on how much would have been getting spent anyway. So the argument being that Walt Disney World was already getting 17 and California would have already been getting 8 or 9 anyway. So how much of this is new money? And this spurred everybody on to some furious debate about where's this money getting spent? What does this mean? Is it actually new money? And where would it best be used? Now, let's go with they've disclosed through securities announcement that they're investing $60 billion and it's more than they were going to. So let's go on the side of they're probably telling the truth because they've just gone to the stock market and made a financially significant commitment that basically means, you know, they're not tied to it, but they are kind of, because they're saying this is what we're going to be doing, so if you invest in us, you should expect us to spend this money. Disney hasn't been typically spending too much, but they have been spending quite a bit of money, but it's been less than normal due to them buying Fox and it possibly not being as gratuitous to them as we would have thought. So let's cover off the boats first, because I think you'll have a better insight to the parks. Currently, there's two boats under construction. One, which was a stereotypical sort of boat, which was the Disney Treasure. And it's coming next year. I think it's November, December time next year. It's kind of getting finished off just now. And the Disney Treasure is just a typical Disney massive ship that we were expecting anyway. And they've been working on that for years, 6 years or something, it's been getting built. The second one was the Global Dream. This was the China or Asia-specific market ship that existed. And the Global Dream, despite being called the Global Dream, wasn't actually for Disney. It was for, I can't even remember who was buying it originally, but they went bankrupt. Yeah. And Disney swooped in and said, we want a mega ship. And we'll buy this mega ship. So they've got that. It's going to be their biggest one. I think it's got something ridiculous. Like, it's going to hold...
Yeah, I think
once you include
huge.
The crew, it's like 9,000, 10,000 people or something. And it was the Global Dream. It's coming in 2025 because it was already kind of moving along its build, and Disney's now just overhauling the build. 2025, early 2026, probably the latest. And it's going to be called the Disney Adventure.
Yes.
So we know the Disney, so we've got the Disney Treasure, we've got the Disney Adventure coming. So, and this one's going to be sent off to like Singapore or something. I think they said that we're going to hide this one.
Yeah, I think it's Singapore, Australia, you know, that side of the world, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
And then there's an unnamed ship. There's another one. This is the unnamed one. No, they scrapped the second Dream. Is that the one you mean? Because that one's gone. They scrapped Global Dream 2 or whatever it was called. There is another treasure sized.
I didn't know that. I thought that I thought that it was the last one that they unveiled, you know, that just, I think it was last year it started operation, and then it was a Dream, and then the Global, not the Dream, the Treasure, and then the Global Dream.
Yeah, but they announced, and that was they announced it. There's an eighth ship.
Oh, wow.
Which is also, the Disney Wish and the Disney Treasure are kind of the same sort of class, so it's like a Disney Treasure, Disney Wish sort of thing. So it's
interesting.
This they confirmed an eighth ship. So that was before. I mean, that was all announced before the $60 billion. So
interesting.
I mean, the $60 billion. They explicitly called out the cruise line, which means they're, and if they're going to invest in the cruise line, that means only one of two things. They're either going to add more ships or they're going to add more private islands, both which are, you know, the Disney ships are currently running, I think it's 95% occupancy. So, yeah. I mean, they could probably build another few ships and probably get away with it. Typically, ships run about 78% to 80% occupied. So Disney at 95% is underserved.
Yeah.
And I think they make a decent enough profit. I mean, obviously, Disney could always make more profit, but I think they make a decent enough profit. They're already the most expensive kind of cruise line that exists for the general sort of populace. So I don't think they're keen on ramping the price terribly more. Instead, they would rather serve more people at an already good profit margin.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, it makes sense.
I mean, I'm going to have to try a Disney cruise because everybody sort of raves about it, so I'm going to have to try this. And then the parks. We come to the parks. You probably are more clued up than me. What have we heard about the $60 billion? Where is it getting spent?
Well, as you said, it's going to be shared with the cruise line. But they did say that they were planning on doubling the investment in the parks, in the sector, compared to the last decade. So last decade, we had a lot of stuff going for the parks. You had the Cars Land in DCA, New Fantasyland, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, Guardians of the Galaxy, Mission Breakout, Pandora, Galaxy's Edge, two Galaxy's Edges, Toy Story, Ratatouille, Avengers Campus, you know, you got all that. And they are saying that they'll be doubling that amount of investment, which is, if true, some amazing news. And I personally don't see where they would, you know, spend that amount of money. No, I just don't know. That's just so much. If they really do plan on spending that amount of money worldwide, because this is worldwide, I just cannot see them spending that amount of money without building a new theme park in either resort.
This is where I get kind of into the debate, because people are like, oh, by the time you add a new land to the Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Hollywood Studios, and Animal Kingdom, which I do think Animal Kingdom's got lots of extra space. Epcot's already a massive park. Like, there is a limit to how much you can put in one park.
Mm-hmm. It's the huge. Magic Epcot Kingdom, is an absolutely huge park, yeah.
Yeah. The Magic Kingdom, as much as it's getting an expansion beyond Thunder Mountain, I don't think it can take terribly much more. And I think that's due to the fact that it's on an island. Well, it's not on an island, but it's looks as though it's on an island where you have to go by boat or monorail. Mm-hmm. And the great problem everybody has is at the end of the night, you have 50, 65,000, 80,000, 100,000, whatever number of people that need to get out. So if you add another, let's go crazy. Let's say they're adding an extra two lands, three lands, four lands. You can bump up the capacity with 10,000 to 15,000 people each. So you're now at 150,000 people. How do you get them out?
I don't know.
You know, and when you're faced with that problem, there just is a, you know, you can't enjoy parades because there's too many people. You already can't enjoy the fireworks. There's people running around with the little speaker systems. They've got tape on the ground. It's not pleasant. So the answer is certainly not going to be, let's create another four lands and make it even more unpleasant.
Yeah.
So I am personally skeptical. And the other thing is, these little lands keep getting built, but they add nothing to the general entertainment. So if we think about like Disneyland in California, when they kind of went round the back and they'd done their sort of Pirates of the Caribbean stuff, they decided when they were expanding that way, they thought, well, we'll put a show on the lake, we'll put Fantasmic there on the main fireworks, we'll create additional. Will create additional, you know, activities, and I think there was a point that it needed done, or otherwise there was no way that many people could be in the park. And Disneyland in California doesn't struggle with the fact that people can walk to the car park, they can walk to their hotels, they can walk to their buses. You can't do that at the Magic Kingdom. the Magic Kingdom. Yeah, you've got the,
you can walk to two hotels. You can walk to Grand Floridian and the Contemporary.
Contemporary,
but that's it.
Yeah. And they're not close. Like, it's funny when people say, you know, they like being right close to the Magic Kingdom and stuff. It's interesting because in Disneyland Paris, you've also got Disneyland Hotel that is on the doorstep of Disneyland Paris. That's a true park hotel. But the Santa Fe, which is the furthest away, and it's Disney's greatest value hotel, the Santa Fe is actually closer to Disneyland Paris than the Grand Floridian is to Walt Disney World.
To the Magic Kingdom.
To the Magic Kingdom, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, I mean, when we talk about it being walkable, I mean, it is walkable, but it's not close. So,
yeah.
There's a whole argument there that I don't think the Magic Kingdom should be the one that they expand further.
Well, but then which park would it be? Animal Kingdom?
I think it'll be a fifth gate. And everybody tells me I'm wrong on this, but statistically it has to be a fifth gate. Universal's about to open its third gate, which is going to be Epic Universe. And by all accounts, Epic Universe is opening as a fantastic park. Like, it's not opening as a starter park that grows. It's opening as a full-day.
Walt Disney Studios.
Yeah, it's walking in as a decent park on day one.
Yeah, it's going to be huge.
The other thing is, and I know it's an outside possibility and everybody thinks it wouldn't happen, but I mean, you're only one purchase away from Universal acquiring SeaWorld, or at least doing a sort of double ticket with them. And if they do a double ticket with them, and keep in mind, Epic Universe is a stone's throw away from the water park and SeaWorld and Discovery Cove for SeaWorld in Orlando. You're going to be up against, Disney would struggle against a resort that had two water parks in Volcano Bay and Aquatica. It had a premium park in Discovery Cove and had an Epic Universe, an Islands Adventure, and a Universal Orlando. Like, Disney would struggle in their hometown of Orlando, and I don't think they can let that happen. Now, if you ask me, how do you get out of having all the costs a fifth gate when you don't want one? Well, that's easy. You create your villain's kingdom and it opens later on in the day. It opens at 3 or 4 in the afternoon. So you don't have the staffing issues that you've got during the day. And you use it as a way to take people out the Magic Kingdom and Epcot at night.
Yeah,
and send them to another park.
Yeah.
And I think you could, you know, and the other thing is, if it's going to be a late night park, you don't have to spend as much money on theming the rides, because a lot of them would just be outside in the dark. You get away with a lot. You get, you know, lighting is a lot cheaper than building a show building to put lighting inside. So, That is my outside belief that they're going to do that. I think that Disneyland Paris is probably going to get a couple more land tucked its way. I think we're probably going to see Runaway Railway. We're going to see the Star Wars expansion in Discoveryland. We're going to see a bulking of the Walt Disney Studios. And I think maybe not delivered in the next 10 years, but I think within the next 10 years, we're going to hear the words third gate. Because, quite frankly, the political situation in China is such that Disney need a Chinese partner in Shanghai more than ever. They have one. The state is already a partner, but I can see that going to the same sort of deal they've got in Japan, where a Chinese entity actually owns the Disney parks and just pays royalties. I think the political situation is such.
That could happen, that's a good point,
TWDC, I don't think, is going to spend on another park in China that potentially is going to be a whole political situation difficult out. Like, that doesn't seem...
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't think about that.
So I think the money's going to get spent closer to home. And potentially, I mean, Walt Disney World's at capacity. Disneyland California's at capacity. There has to be a plan on the table somewhere that they're looking at somewhere like Texas or something for their third resort in America.
That's what I gotta disagree. I don't think they'll build a new resort in America. No. That would just take too many people off the other ones.
What would you do? You've got two resorts that are absolutely packed. Both of them are at capacity.
I mean, you can expand,
wouldn't you?
Yeah, you can expand Walt Disney World like a lot. You can build two more theme parks without having any trouble with zoning it. You know, they have the space. Yeah. It's not like that. And then you have the Disneyland Forward project, which is going very well. Which should see them expanding that resort even further with new attractions, lands, hotels, shopping, etc. So
I think that what Disneyland Forward is going to do is it's going to take the concept of having two parks away, and I think that you know they're never going to get rid of the two parks. I don't mean they're going to take away from having two parks. There's too much invested in that. But I think you're going to see multiple attractions that cross the boundary between one park and the other.
So something like what happens in Universal Orlando with the Hogwarts Express.
Yeah, I think you're going to see, though. I think you're going to see, like, skyways and monorails and whatever. And I think you're going to have attractions that cross the boundaries of the park because it allows them to just expand the capacity
of both.
They're close together. I still think the same
could happen in Disneyland Paris with the Walt Disney Studios and, you know, Disneyland Park. The same thing could happen.
I'm pretty sure it will.
Oh, you think it will? Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, I do. I think they're that close eventually. It just makes sense. Yeah. And now we talk about some stuff that we know a bit firmer. We've got... Let's go to Disneyland Paris specifically in our last sort of topic here. We've got confirmed the Alice in Wonderland stunt show.
Yes, it was announced that the skate show BMX Alice in Wonderland will be indeed happening and will be starting early next year. So that's something.
There's not much we can say on it until it comes. I'm going to give it the benefit of doubt. And then secondly, the Disney Village Bounce Store. I mean, it's funny because rather than announcing the Disney Village or a massive partner with a global brand like McDonald's is now doing this and releasing a bit more phasing or a bit more timelines and saying, you know, Restaurant Rosalie is getting very close to opening. Nah. Instead, we kept all that from D23. We didn't announce any of that. And then, quite literally, on a random Tuesday night, we kicked out a picture of possibly like the world's biggest McDonald's or something, which it needs to be because Disneyland Paris McDonald's is attacked daily by like thousands of people.
Yeah, and then when it opened, the Disney Village McDonald's was the biggest one in Europe, I think.
Yeah.
So it tells you something when that McDonald's is completely full to the brim every single day. So they need to.
And you've got the new theme. The new theme is exactly the same as the rest of the kind of the village, which is kind of woody and green. Yeah.
I remember hearing just one little thing. I remember hearing about different zones in village. So you'd have that ecological wood area, which would be the closer to the hotels. And then you'd have an Art Deco area where Five Guys and the World of Disney is. So, and then another one which I can't remember, but if someone knows, please do confirm. But I think this is supposed to happen. So you'd have... different, almost as shopping lands in village, which it sounds like a good idea. I'm not sure how they'll accomplish this, but
plans. I've been, since we discussed it, I've thought about it more and more. So, okay. I mean, Disneyland Paris have mucked around since the day that they had the Disney Village on security arrangements and such, but I think we're getting closer to a clearer picture. And this is what I've now decided is probably most likely to happen. So we're going to create a new entrance, behind what would be the current events tent. And it's going to be, you know, to the left-hand side of that. I think that's going to be the new entrance to the village. I think you're going in that way. And I think that
the left of the events arena.
Yeah. So where McDonald's is right now, you're plowing through the current McDonald's. Like, there's going to be a big... road straight in. I think you're going to get... That's going to be the new route in. And I think that all traffic is going to get put through there. So, like, all pedestrian traffic. You, when you're going to Disneyland Paris in the morning, like, if you're staying at the Hyde Park Terrace, they only say... If you're staying in Val d'Europe or that, you are about to get put through the village to get to the park. I'm fairly convinced.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When you think about it, you can suddenly add so much more traffic to that street if people can't just bypass it to get home. If you've got to go in that way and go out that way, it makes a lot of sense. So you've got... I think that's the new path, and I think that the Avenue, Paul Ceramy, the south entrance that we all love because it's the fastest entrance into Disneyland Paris, I think that's just going to be a bit of a wall until you have the kind of cut that gets you into the train station.
I think what happens with the Five Guys in Vapiano building then?
Well, that's this is why it's brilliant, because where they're going to put the gate, Five Guys and Vapiano and everything are going to be within the secure zone now.
So you put the gate at the right side of the...
You can move the gate all the way up now. All the way up to in front of what would be Five Guys and the very... You know how the gate's quite far back?
But then why not just enter from there? From that area,
well, you can, but they're going to brick that off because they don't want you going through there. They want you going through the village.
Interesting.
I bet the gate's getting brought up, and we're going through the village.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So they could create just one entrance, you know, into the secure area.
The other thing is, it's too convenient to get dropped off by a taxi there, and you get into Disneyland Paris arguably better than half the hotels that Disney own.
That's true.
So I think you're going to see this. I think the village is going to become the entranceway, which makes a lot of sense, to be fair. That you're coming in and you're getting shuttled in and out the village on your way in and your way out. So I think that's probably a kind of certainty. McDonald's and some third parties are going to play a huge part in that. I think that Disneyland Paris are going to lean heavily on third party agents.
I think that's the plan. Have third party, shops similarly to Springs.
I think that's probably the easiest way to do it. And I think that's probably what they will do. There's also going to be, you know, I'm convinced the fourth Lakeside Hotel is going to be a thing. Disneyland Paris events, there just aren't that many big conferences and stuff. So I think they're probably just going to go with the Newport Bays Conference Center and the Hotel New York Conference Center. And they'll probably do away with their massive event arena because I don't think it gets used as much as it probably would. There's also nothing comparable in Walt Disney World.
I mean, you have I think the Contemporary is the biggest, similar to conference stuff, and I think that's where
I don't think it's as big as in the last time I'm checking it just now, but I can't.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't. No, it's not as big. It isn't as big. Or at least the outline says it's not. So I think we're going to see that resort. I mean, people are saying, but they've just done up the events arena and, you know, the events arena really, but they could have a hotel that could be making them a lot more for now.
I'm fairly certain that the next hotel will be where the events arena is now. It's just prime real estate, and it would be the second closest to the parks, maybe the third compared to New York, but it's just such a good spot that I don't think they'll, you know,
I mean,
hold
the spot's
back.
Big enough to almost take the full size of the main Sequoia Lodge building. It wouldn't probably take the lodges,
yeah.
but it would take the main building. So it'll be a big hotel.
It can be a huge hotel.
The other
Absolutely
thing
huge.
That people probably forget as well is the balloon, the Panoramagic balloon, is not, I mean, it isn't anchored in the sense that it's terribly permanent. Like, that could be moved quite easily to somewhere else on the lake.
But why would you move it?
Well, it gives you an awful lot more space there.
For what? For the village?
Well, yeah, if you need to expand the village or you need to go out. That's what they've done at Disney Springs. They bumped out and they built walkways and they built, you know.
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
Very easy.
It used to be Pleasure Island, right?
Yeah. So they've got
interesting.
They've got options. Like, I mean, that balloon literally, I mean, it's secured, but it could move quite easily and quite cheaply. Like, the balloon is used to moving, and the ramp onto it's just movable steel. It's not. There's nothing there that's solid foundation. So you've got another huge bit of space there you could invest.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
and the other, I want to put one other thing that I'm fairly convinced is coming. I'm pretty sure that an indoor water park has to be on the agenda somewhere.
Yes, that's something. I had a chat with Caroline Reed, which writes for Forbes, and was the one that made that article where I was very happily included. And that she was telling me that she wrote an article because Disney has been developing some sort of Marvel themed aquatic park, something like that. I don't quite remember, but I mean, Marvel has been paying off here in Paris quite a lot.
Massively.
With Hotel New York and Avengers Campus. So could a water park be built just around that theme? I don't know, but I think it's an interesting idea.
I think you could build a water park around almost no theme if you had to. I mean, they could. Obviously, but
yeah.
And I think if we're looking at the land, they have. If you're on Avenue Paul Serme again, and you want to keep it kind of linked in with everything, I'm almost sure it's going to be opposite the Newport Bay.
So that
almost
triangle area between
the triangle
Newport
area,
and
yeah.
Between Newport and Walt Disney Studios.
Yeah, there's a little car park there just now. I'm fairly convinced if they were going to build a water park, it's getting put there. It's in walking distance. It's part of the main complex. It's a very easy investment for them. They wouldn't have to build any more infrastructure to get to it. They wouldn't have to, you know what I mean? There's just so many quick wins with building your water park there.
Yeah.
It's next to train stations. It's easy. If I was going to do something easy, that would be the easy, cheap. You know, it could be a decent size, leave a bit of room for expansion as well. Because you've got to remember, water parks are never that big.
I mean, you could fit probably the old Walt Disney Studios in that plot of land. So it's quite big.
Yeah.
But
I think that's definitely coming.
Yeah, I think that if a water park is in development, it could be a great area for that. Originally, it was going to be the big convention center / hotel, something similar to the Contemporary. But since plans have changed a lot, it could be a water park. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I think that's probably the plan. That gives them something to like. Really, I mean, that's a new marketable thing. It's a great, you know, it's relatively quick to add a water park. Like we've seen that with Volcano Bay and stuff, it adds so much to the market and off a resort.
That's true. I just think there's one problem with the water park, and that is that You know, Disney now is just so much focused in selling merchandise and exclusive merchandise and stuff. And there's just, when you're at a water park, you're not shopping. You know, it's very hard to promote that. There's no shops. What are you gonna do? You're gonna carry the you know, the thing you just bought all over the water park. I don't know. Just makes it harder to, you know, to buy stuff, which is something that Disney really likes.
Maybe. Well, it's speculation.
Oh yeah, of course. I'm just trying to see if there's any type of, you know, other side I'm not currently looking at. But yeah, it could work very well. I mean, it was planned for a water park was planned for the resort 30 years ago. So there
the
must
other thing
be
is we know there's demand as well, because they used to offer the annual pass holders the ability to go to the Disney hotels for the pools.
Yeah, to the pools. Yeah.
So we know that they know there's some sort of demand that even pass holders want to go to some sort of water feature.
So,
Anyway, unless you have anything else, I think we're nearly ready to wrap this one up. I mean, we said it was going to be shorter, and it's been over an hour, so... Oops.
Oh, well. Yeah. No, I don't have anything else to say. I think that covered everything pretty well.
Well, there has been a lot happening, so thank you once again for hosting.
Thank you.
And reminding me that we had to do it. I completely forgot. I was sitting playing with my phone, and I was like, oh. Well, thank you everybody for listening in. That has been another Disney Discord podcast. This will be available online shortly. Thank you to everybody who's listened live. And if you're not already in our Discord server, come and join it, where we chat endlessly about randomness that happens around the Disney world.
Yes.
Any last words from you, Bernard?
Yeah, just a big thank you to everyone who has been listening. And see you next one.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.